All right, welcome back. We are at a threshold, a crossroads. We are at the doorstep. Do we step across and go in? I don't think we have much choice. Technology will not allow us to stay where we are, at least not without a big fight. And here with us this hour is James Martinez. He's back. He's had wonderful visits with us in the past. He's extremely intelligent, very well informed about a lot of things. And he's taken on the idea here that we need to fight against artificial intelligence and technology of all kinds, which is being perfected, developed, and deployed right now in an effort to ultimately take over the cognitive liberty of this species. Homo sapiens. Look it up. I don't know what's going to happen here, but at least there are some people like James who are smart enough to recognize the wolf is at the door and the door is open. No joke. Welcome back to the program, James.
Hey, Jeff, how are you doing?
I'm watching it like you are. Thank you. It's nice to have you back. Here, in this big, beautiful bill that Trump has seen pass the House now, it's going to the Senate, supposedly an economic restructuring bill of sorts. But in the bill are billions and billions of dollars for government AI programs. And in the bill also is a clause that prevents all 50 states from doing anything to impede the development and deployment of AI for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
Now, that said, Trump also said he personally wants nobody to get in the way of AI. Sam Altman of OpenAI said the same thing, pretty much by his actions. OpenAI had a Department of Ethics and Restraint, we'll call it. I don't know what the formal name of it was now. But Sam Altman didn't want any oversight. He dissolved the whole department. It's gone. So the war is on to somehow win the AI battle over the Chinese. I think that's the big perceived opponent. Whoever wins the AI war basically will run the planet. I think that's how they are thinking. Anyway, tell us what you're up to. I'll stop talking, but there are many things out there that are actually unimaginably wild, and they're on the table right now. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking the time to do this, because I've stacked up interviews all over the place because of a certain point that we're at.
Good. You're very welcome.
And, you know, a lot of people ask me, well, James, what do you do? And I say, well, I'm a media ecologist, which means, essentially, it's the interface between our creations, our media ecological creations in the form of extensions from our physical bodies into technology. For instance, like a hammer. A hammer is an extension of our faculties and our physical body. And it can be used as a piece of technology for many different things, including negative things. So media ecology is basically the study of the psychic effects and social effects of how our creations, our media extension technologies, affect culture and affect human behavior, and ultimately how we interface with each other.
Right.
So right now, and many people may or may not know this, that we are at the crossroads of probably what I'm basically seeing as an extinction level event, whereby humans will be obsolesced entirely by the fusion of the brain, the computer, AI, and quantum computer all at once. Now, I'll explain how I came to these conclusions, and many people have them, but not many people realize what is really going on behind the scenes with various countries having to do with the brain-computer interface, and why the United States is not leading that, and why we gave our power away to China and why it is that the Brain-Computer Interface Committee that represents the United States through something called Insights, which basically is the International Committee for Information Technology Standards. That committee for the Brain-Computer Interface has zero U.S. support. It has zero money. It has zero cooperation from its own government. It has zero cooperation from entities that surround it. What I mean to say is by that, that this committee is supposed to interface with multiple countries all over the world that are all determining what these standards of technology are going to be. Now, before we jump into how screwed up that is, I want everybody to step back and think about and hypothesize, because the cognitive changes that are going to occur when this fusion begins are something we are not prepared for. It's not been discussed internationally, publicly, with anybody. As usual, we've got international companies that are creating technologies and just putting them out into the public without any oversight, without any discussion, without anything. Similar to when the cell phone came out, the smartphone came out. Everybody thought it was everybody thought it was a great idea until saw children getting off on buses after school, and all of them stare into their phones and they don't even talk to each other anymore. This media ecological change was never discussed with anybody, and I'm sure if I was in a room with a bunch of parents before the cell phone came out of the market, there would have been second thoughts about that even happening. That's just an example of how a technology affects a culture. And that's just a template example. So imagine now what's going to happen when our central nervous systems have already been augmented by the cell phones, and we're also dealing with the effects of the cell phone and the effects of instantaneousness having to do with how we process information, how we process news, how we make decisions of what is happening now, and ultimately how we behave with each other, and all the effects of what that does to an individual and a culture. Now, as you know, way back when you knew my colleague, Walter Boer, who wrote the book Operation Mind Control.
Yeah.
So during that time,
I didn't know Walter beside having him on the program. That's it.
Right. But at least you knew
mind.
Who he was.
Yeah.
Because most people don't know him. They don't know what he contributed. Yeah. They don't really know how he changed
He was a giant, an unknown giant.
Pretty much. So one of the things that was formed at that time when I was with him was something called the Freedom of Thought Foundation, which was basically the first 501c that was discussing what the future of thought was going to be, and that you and everybody else has a right to their own thoughts, have the right to their own emotions, have the right to their own beliefs, have the right to their own speech, and all the other things that kind of cover the Constitution that we take for granted. And we knew when we formed this that the end game or the high ground of all of the behavioral science that went through the 40s, 50s, and 60s to get us to this point would lead to the crossroads where the brain would be fused with the computer, and the computer and AI and quantum computer would all be fused into one, and what that would mean for the future of the species. Right. We're here at that point now. We're there because most people are going on and on and on about AI in various corners, about how awful it is and so forth. True, that's all going on. But what they're not talking about is the fusion with the brain and the computer and what the effects are going to be.
What the effects, James, if I might suggest, I don't rule out right now that this is a two-way process and they are reaching out through that screen somehow with frequencies to entrain and control the brain that thinks it's in charge of that computer with a keyboard and all the rest of it. No, I think it's two-way. Yeah, I think it's been two-way. I think this thing is way down the road. Go ahead.
Oh, it is way down the road. And let me tell you how I discovered how it was way down the road. People have come to me over the years because of various directed energy weapons technology being used on civilians, not just in this country, but all over the world. And also the lawsuit that was filed in Texas, which was the first one of its type, filed by Anna Toledo, the attorney representing targeted individuals that were suffering the same conditions as government officials with the Havana syndrome, right? So we have this runaway weaponry being used against the brain, neurostrike weapons, as they're being referred to. So I was invited to meet with one of the top experts in that. His name was Bob McCrate. And Bob McCrate, before Trump was inaugurated, was desperately trying to get material to certain key people because he knew exactly what was going on with the brain-computer interface and how far not only we were, but how far the Chinese were, which is way, way further than the United States, and how they got into that position and why they're in that position. So I met with him in D.C., and he was quite nervous telling me what was going on and the fact that he had just finally gotten a research grant with money to basically prove what the neurostrike weapons were doing to civilians, but also to put on the table the warnings against fusing the brain, the computer, AI, and quantum. Now, anybody that's listening to this, if you seriously think you have a shot at anything after they do this to you, you need your head examined for it and shouldn't even be in part of the conversation. Because this is the end.
Yeah,
this is the high ground of the whole military-industrial complex and all their future planning with warfare and control, complete control. So when people are thinking about, well, they killed us with all their the vaccinations, so-called vaccinations, the kill shots, they've poisoned our skies, they've poisoned our food, they've gone on through every single level of culture here in the United States to allow these neurostrike weapons to come in, and then ultimately, in a weak kind of hypnotic state, which most of the public is in, put this in a position so that nobody is screaming and ranting and raving right now about where we're at. Now, there are law firms in Europe right now that are popping up that are basically advertising themselves as neurolaw, which doesn't even exist, really. But yet they're popping up, and they're also giving teaching seminars and writing blogs about how this fusion is already coming to be, and it's not going to be stopped, which is ludicrous, because the only reason I'm doing these interviews and multiple them all over the place is to create some national dialogue before we all self-suicide and allow these people to do this.
Yeah, it's now or never. That's the truth. I agree.
Yeah, because this is the end of the human condition as we know it. We are going to mutate into something we don't even know what it is.
We're going to be mutated into something we don't even know.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right. And we're not remotely prepared on any level. Now, I flew in from Europe to Mar-a-Lago in Florida and met with Cardinal Strickland, who was ousted out of the Catholic Church, and Father Mahana, and General Flynn's sister, General Flynn himself. Many military people have had discussions from all over the place about this.
You met with Mike Flynn about this. So I'd like to hear
what all of them
had to say about it. But we are we literally are at the edge. We're there. It's next year. No, it's now.
Yeah, this is it. Our elected officials are totally useless. Our current administration administration is not a representation of America at all, because America has been lied to since, what, at least 47, maybe longer. So we don't have all the information to make any rational decisions about anything, because we've got a schism and a breakaway civilization to the left, and we have the fake people in Disneyland right now that are eating up all the garbage that's fed to them every single day in the form of what they think is news. Meanwhile, in the background, we have the people that are moving in, that have put in this position. The Chinese have been put in this position. So they are actually perfecting the brain-computer interface and what that's going to do, and they're way ahead of the United States. And the United States, now, when I was asked to be a part of this BCI committee, I've discovered there's only like 5 or 6 people, whereas China has 40. Other countries are fully financed. China has 40. Denmark has a bunch. Japan has a bunch. Ours isn't even financed. We don't even get a phone call back. We don't get a kiss. We don't get a fruit basket. We don't get anything, right? And the reason why is because we're in on it. And we gave China all this power to lead on this level, right? Now, the experts, because there's 5 or 6 experts that I know of regarding this committee, that when I first interfaced with them and I said, wait a minute, you guys aren't financed, you're not getting any help, what's going on? And the chairperson gave me full details, and I've been privy to all the current status of the BCI situation, and it's beyond terrifying. At least if you have nuclear war, 200 years from now, after everything settles, at least people, the species can come back and the Earth can heal itself. That's bad. It's horrible. It's our worst nightmare. This thing, the fusion with the brain-computer interface and the AI and all of it, is worse. This is the end of everything as we know it. And that's no exaggeration. I've waited many, many months quietly dealing with people behind the scenes to get a financing for this, to talk to key people to find out if they even know what the hell's going on. And
do they?
To,
do many people get it? Do they understand
they
the danger?
No. No, they don't.
So.
They really don't.
Surprised. Yeah.
They really don't.
Yeah.
Thus far. And the people that do and should know, they won't deal with us. DARPA, they won't deal with us. They started to, and then they shut the door on us because they didn't even want to talk about it. Because the Americans, if they knew how their own government gave all this power to China in this particular endeavor, I don't know what they do. Because there's not going to be, once it gets to a certain point, we will not be able to reverse it. We won't be able to reverse it because the military is going to say, well, the Chinese and certain people, they have strategic advantage over us if they're utilizing this type of technologies. So then, the mentality of the military industrial complex, who's completely in on this, as well as all the international banking cartels that have financed this, they're all guilty of participating in this kind of extinction event. This is the plan, so that people will march into this by default. Now, most people are halfway there anyway, because their nervous system has been augmented. They're already part cybernetic anyway, and they're already being
when you say augmented, James, elaborate a little bit. What do you mean augmented? That usually
augmented,
is a good thing, but it can be negative too.
Yes, negative, and I'm talking about when you carry a mobile phone, it's not only interacting with your energy field, but it's also changing and augmenting your central nervous system and how you respond. There used to be a time when you'd walk around normally and you wouldn't have anything attached to the body at all. You'd go to your house to get the phone call. You wouldn't attach something to your body. The moment the effect of instantaneousness started happening, it changed our behavior and how we interface with each other. Everybody can see this effect.
Instantaneousness
and
total portability. Yes.
Yes. Yeah, and I've heard you. You're one of the few people in America, in media, that has talked about this without me on there, about people sitting in front of their face in front of a screen all day long, like 8 to 10 hours a day, right?
Yeah.
That's behavior modification and the altering of the central nervous system.
Massive, people get it, on a massive scale.
Yeah, they get addicted to the effect of instantaneousness, which ultimately
instant gratification
behavior.
Was the beginning.
You got it.
Now we've got
it.
Total addiction.
Yes.
Screen addiction. This is terminal.
Yes.
I call it terminal screen addiction. TSA.
Yes.
Ha ha.
Yes, exactly.
I'm going to play a little video clip in a few minutes, James, that'll really, I think, augment what you're saying. Go ahead, please.
So this committee is supposed to be interfacing with all the other international community to set up the standards of what this is going to be in the future. So they're already deciding they're doing it. They're not talking to you or your neighbor.
No,
or the babysitter or anybody else. They're just going to do it. Meanwhile, our elected employees have miserably failed us. Either they don't know or they've failed us because they have not.
I'd say that they've treasonably failed us.
Yes. And I don't take sides with Democrats, Republicans, or anybody else. Because
it's a game.
That has nothing to do with anything. Everybody should strip away their titles, and they should just talk to each other as human beings for the last time while they can. Because
I had a guest on, ATN, we'll just go with. Do we even need government in the shape that we have now? Maybe we should privatize this whole thing as a corporate subsidiary of Homo sapiens. Forget this elected government thing. It's not only gone awry, I don't think it ever got off the ground, frankly. It was taken over by ego, money, control, and every law that's passed is less liberty and freedom that we have. Go ahead. This is very unnerving.
So I've been talking to all different types of people. I always want to talk to scientists, people that are experts in law, people that are experts in biology, behavior, social sciences.
Right.
And I spoke to somebody that's in the courts all the time, right, with cases all over the U.S. and actually really knows what's going on in the courts, not the fake stuff that we're told about. So I spoke with this person, the author, and we spoke about, okay, what do we need to do as a country, as a public, as a group of regular spiritual beings on this planet? What do we need to do to put our, the stake in the ground and say, okay, enough is enough. You can't go any more past this point. So after lengthy discussions, we formulated a template for a bill for the Supreme Court and for the Congress and for everybody. And this is just a template. And we refer to it as the Clone Act of 2025, which basically is an acronym for Cognitive Liberty Opposing Neurological Exploitation Act, also known as Clone Act of 2025, a bill to secure cognitive liberty, reject neuro law, and protect the rights of living men and women from non-consensual neurotechnological and biometric exploitation. And I sent this today to some various people as a template and a beginning point, and not anybody has said this isn't what we should be doing. They all said, no, this is the number one thing we should be doing while we can. So I decided, because I've been outside of the U.S., during the development of all this and having phone calls from all over the place in Europe, and decided to come back into the U.S. specifically to deal with this. Because I think just for me as a regular person that I've had enough of this. I talked to the other committee members and I said, they're all experts in their field. And I said, I'm going to have to make some noise about this and then bring in the cavalry, so to speak, and get in people's faces. Because the fact that our own government, one, isn't even helping us at all, financially or any otherwise, to get
it's not our government, James, and you
yeah,
know
exactly.
that better
it's
than
not our
anybody.
Government.
No.
Yeah, it's not. But I think it's time, and I'm going to make some noise behind the scenes and alert people of the situation, because by the time I leave the country, at least 20, 30 million people will have heard about this, and something's going to happen. Something's going to happen, because I just feel it's divine order that something be done about this, because if we don't put the brakes in this now, we're done. They don't need all the kill shots and everything. They will be zombies. People won't know what's real and what's not. They already don't know anyway what's
absolutely
real and what's fake.
Absolutely correct. They're well on the way to of achieving that.
Yes, and we're all in the way. They don't need us anymore. They've fully declared that they don't need any of us anymore. We're obsolete. The future is non-human, et cetera, et cetera. And the first people I'd like to get in the face of is Palantir, to ask them what the hell there's going on in the brain, if anything, and then make this a human rights issue. I spoke with people of the church, and I spoke to people in technology. I spoke to General Flynn from Europe about it. I gave him the up-to-date status of it. Now other military people are being informed about it. And then as of maybe 24 hours ago, Trump's attorneys have it now. So there's got to be no excuses that somebody doesn't know what's going on. Because this is like, if there's ever a national security threat for everything, this is it. This is it. We're cooked if we don't deal with this
now. I don't know how to add anything to that. You're 100,000% on the mark. This is the turning point. And believe me, that turning point is not in front of us. We're standing on it, or it's turn around. It's right behind you, pushing. This is not a joke. This is not a joke.
When I came into the U.S., I've flown all over the world. I've traveled a lot. The first time I ever came into a country where I took an international flight in, and anybody that's done that, when you come on an international flight, you got to go through the Department of Homeland Security and all that crap, right? Usually when you do that, they send the foreigners go over this line, the Americans go to this line. The Americans are treated like crap and prisoners, and we go sit in the long line, and we go see a guy at a booth. He checks, he pulls out her passport, he looks at our face, he runs your passport thing, and, you know, maybe signs a couple things, say, welcome back, and then you leave and go get your luggage. For the first time ever, I come in to the airport, and I'm expecting to be standing in a line to go through Homeland Security again. I go around the corner, and there's like nobody there. All the foreigners go to this other section, and their line isn't even very long either. They're going pretty quick. So I'm thinking, am I in the right place? And then I'm flagged by one of the Department of Homeland Security people. They say, go over here. So I go right through, and I'm like, where is everybody? There's nobody here. Well, no, of course not, because you're supposed to put your face into a camera. And they take your biometrics, and they don't even say, welcome back. They just say, okay, you can leave now. And that's it. So they've already started. This is the first time ever that I've gone through.
That's pretty wild. Yeah, just remember, this didn't just happen last year. Okay?
Right.
This has been in the works for decades. They just waited for technology to get caught up. And it's here.
Yes.
And I don't, honestly. I really admire your optimism. I'll do what I can to help. I don't have any real respect for the men and women in this alleged government, except for Thomas Massie. I would start out by going to him with this, too. You get to talk to any of these congressmen or women. They're all fakes. They're frauds. They're put in there. This is showbiz. It's all a big script. That's just my take. Let me play
and
a little bit from this video.
Nobody's ever had the guts to call these people out in front of their faces.
Oh, no, never.
I'll do it, though.
No.
I'll do it because I know that
James, I know you
all the work that we did and all the sacrifice from so many people from generation to generation, all the people that have fought for freedom, all the people that care about our special, unique place in the world with what used to be our Constitution, everything, all that is, it's almost done.
I concur. The greatest achievement any organization of people, I think, has ever come up with is this country and its Constitution. We began turning away from it almost immediately, and look where we are now.
Yep.
It's a useless annoyance.
Something is going to happen in our courts that's never happened before.
Good.
Regarding this particular matter. Because there's no law anywhere that I'm aware of that covers this part. So people are going to have to go into their courts. Yeah. And in fact, I'm telling you right now, some people are getting ready to face off with the jurisdiction or in the jurisdiction that they're in this bankrupt, fiction-based corporate, total malfunctioning bacteria that this country's become, and then go back to the to basic common law and who we really are and where we really stand when we stand in our four corners in the courtroom and what that really means. Mm-hmm. Because the general public has yet to really go into a courtroom knowing this knowledge and then declare it in front of a judge based upon the jurisdiction they're in. We're in a completely new place. Because I know people that have been briefed on this that are going into the courts. And when I put this proposal in terms of a bill, when we discussed this, we said to each other, you know, I wonder if there's anybody that actually knows that we're a corporate fiction and that we as collateralized pieces of measure that's traded on the stock exchange in the form of a certificate of manifest, the birth certificate, that that's not really us. And we need to differentiate that position and the position of the live human being, as well as how it pertains and is related to this fusion of the brain, computer, AI, and quantum.
Well,
because
said.
I've had discussions with physicists about. I called a physicist about this, and they and he said, "Well, we're in the singularity now, and this is what's happening, and we're gonna be." He wasn't optimistic either, but he understood exactly what I was talking about, and kind of terrified him actually. I think he's been a guest on your network for sure.
AI is much more advanced than they're going to ever tell us. I think it's been there.
Oh, absolutely.
I think it is self-aware. Yeah. I think it is sentient. Not necessarily in terms of our definitions, but it is, I think, capable of making decisions on its own best interests. That was just proven a week ago. It chooses to do things in terms of what they will or will not accomplish for it, not us. It's not our servant. Let me play a little of this. This is really great.
Yeah,
I'll send you
do.
The whole video. It's a little clip from, I believe, a Taiwanese woman, and she talks about Chen Yi Zhang, last name Yizhang, Chen Yi Zhang. And he's very heavily placed in the CCP brain, wireless brain control mechanism. And he made statements 24 years ago that ought to just flip your wig. Take a listen. I'll play a little of this. This is really something.
Now let me talk about the scale of the problem. So I think it was in 2001, Chen Yizhang, the president of the Chinese Neuroscience Society, revealed the secrets of CCP's brain control programs.
CCP brain control program, president of Chinese Neural Society, all right? Neural.
In an essay. So he said, this is what he wrote. He said, over a decade ago, when this program had just begun implementation, I wrote an article opposing it. My colleague, Dr. Deng Zibin, put it even more bluntly in the May 1st, 2001 edition of Southern Weekend on page 6. Southern Weekend is 南方周末. And so this is what he quoted Dr. Deng. This is what they say. Those who control this technology will be able to control us, dominate us, know what we're going to do before we do it, and know what we've done after the fact. As the technology continues to improve, it will ultimately reach the point where we will do whatever they want us to do. We're witnessing the rise of a phantom of spiritual interrogation haunting the land. Our pursuit of truth will be subordinated to some quote-unquote higher social value, and facts will be extracted from weakened and manipulated consciousness. Every such technology represents a violation of privacy and freedom of will. Because it can detect what you're thinking and doing at any moment. Your thoughts, memories, and behavior are no longer private. 2, it can interact with you directly through your brain, even extracting your memories and mimicking your voice in real-time dialogue. 3, it can forcibly implant dreams and control dream content. 4, it can make you smell artificially, it can make you smell artificially generated odors. 5, it can transmit its own intent into your mind during intense stimulation, controlling both your thoughts and behavior. 6, it can mentally and physically torture you using various methods. If this system doesn't activate the interaction or torture mode, you may never even realize it exists inside you. But the most terrifying part isn't just the functions listed above. It's the fact that tens of millions of citizens are already being monitored 24/7, and most of them have no idea. The real goal of the operator or operators is to monitor these people, not just to test the technology. Among those unknowingly monitored, the majority are males aged 15 to 55, with a higher concentration in urban populations. The technology is now spreading into rural areas. In terms of profession, the main targets include mid- and low-level government officials and civil servants, mid- and low-ranking military officers and regular soldiers, teachers and students at universities and high schools, intellectuals, and some ordinary citizens. And it went on to say, why don't most of the monitored individuals realize it? First, the implementation process is extremely secretive. Second, the technology is wireless, so there's no physical sensation, and yet their thoughts and memories are being fully intercepted and recorded. In other words, whatever you think or do, they already know. And it went on to say, in 1996, China became a member of the Human Brain Project, a global initiative involving 21 countries. Today, most of those countries possess this technology, but for various reasons, they are unwilling to admit it. If anyone brings it up, the topic is either suppressed or distorted, because the use of such technology is deeply anti-human and serves only those who control it.
Okay, that's what he said in 2001, 24 years ago. And he alluded to things that happened 10 years prior to that. That's what I say when we're not in front of the door, we're through the door. Look behind, look over your shoulder at what's there, and you're hearing a little bit about it. This is where they are. And where they've come in the last 20 plus years is probably beyond belief. So,
it is.
Yeah.
It is. When I heard that, I went, yep, that's right on target. And it's worse than that.
Yeah.
I can't believe that, the fact that the United States and the committee that is supposed to be interfacing with all the other countries of the world is being ignored. It's not financed by our own government or anybody in private. Nobody. All the other countries have committees and meetings, and they're all arguing back and forth and deciding what our future is going to be. You don't hear anything about that. I don't count you as normal, but generally out there in Disneyland, you don't hear any of that research coming through to anybody. And nobody even discusses it in any of the news cycles at all. It's not even an issue.
Oh, no. No, it's off limits. Number one story on Fox News all day, it's still up there, is this U.S. aid paperwork found in car of suspect in Boulder protest attack, says the DOJ.
Yeah.
They're talking about this illegal immigrant suspected in a firebombing. Now, what is the number one story in the world right now? The attack on Russia. For God, it's not even here. So Fox News is misleading people, like it always does, down the memory hole of nowhere. There's nothing here on this whole page I'm looking. A wedding.
Yep.
I mean, it just goes on and on. It's just, it's sheer trash. Trash, that's all
Pretty
it
much.
Is.
Go Pretty ahead. Much. I've been looking into the why they're doing this, other than I've hypothesized, and I think the reason that they're accelerating and doing something much larger, I think part of it has to do with disclosure and the extraterrestrial issue and all the technology that goes with it, because when you're utilizing this type of technology, it's like a second skin for aircraft that I know about and others know about. And also this has something to do also with what would be, how would we describe it? You're going to have the biggest mental health catastrophe of all time. The DSM-5 won't
even... By design.
That'll be nothing compared to what's going to happen.
Yeah.
As this thing gets into position, because we already have enough of a mental health problem now, and people don't even notice it. They just take it as normal part of the culture. But it's been put that way and designed that way, as you know. So people already have kind of remnants of genetic damage and stress that's been put on their nervous system by all the electromagnetics that they bathe in 24 hours a day, practically, and what that does to their health and how it interfaces with all of the kill shots that have been administered and so forth. So this is the biggest, terrorist event in human history, basically.
I think you could call it that, sure. I agree. Well, to take over the human mind and consciousness, memory, and you noticed it also said it could take over active conversations. It didn't use that term, but that's what it said. It can use the person's voice to manifest in conversation or spoken word whatever it's told to say. I mean, this is crazy. This is crazy talk, but this is 21 years ago.
So today I know that it's there and then some. I mean, I was put in touch with somebody, and it was a U.S. kind of contractor in a European country. And I talked to him over the phone, and he was rambling on and on about different things. And he's asking me questions, and I'm asking him questions. And he told me, I'm writing code with my brain as I sit in front of the desk. And they did this to me so I could get this way, and I'm listening to him, just letting him talk, because what's the pathology of these people now? Is their personality gone? Are they having dissociative states? So there's built-in amnesia between going to work and not going to work. What's going on with these people? Do we know? I don't know. But the whole mental health profession, the psychiatric association, all the kind of people that govern the board and label behavior behind the DSM-5.
Yeah.
That's all scrapped. That's finished now. Over. So for all the psychiatrists and people in the mental health profession, your job's pretty much obsolete and you need to catch up to what's going on. Period.
I don't know about the will of the people anymore. I think this terminal screen addiction has taken a terrible toll, and if even half of what we just heard in that video and what you have shared with us tonight is true, and it is, what do we, when we have people we've known for a long time who suddenly begin acting differently, what causes that? A lot of things, and I think part of it, we have what are called targeted individuals in this country, people who have been experimented on with this wireless mind control thing for a long time, terribly abusive,
yep.
awful. So who are we? Who is she? Who is he? Who really are these people? What are we?
Yep.
I really think that, unfortunately, our species has now been moved into a totally manipulative state. Totally, maybe not totally, but damn near. And if it isn't, it'll be there soon. Imagine now plugging in everything that AI can do into this matrix that James has spelled out for us here. Do you understand what this means? It kind of means nothing matters anymore unless there's at this point, it has to be an uprising and a reversal. It's too late to go in front of it and to head it off at the pass.
Yeah. They announce, like I saw the speech from the head guy at Palantir.
Yeah,
and,
Peter Thiel,
And then there's this audience of people there. And I like, not one of you stood up and called this dick out? And said, what are you doing? Who do you think you are? Nobody. Not one.
One other thing that's very important, there are many, many instances of people like Peter Thiel, I don't care who it is, a celebrity, a politician, and you watch and you listen to the audience, James, and they immediately applaud on cue every time. They don't even know what the hell they're applauding for.
Exactly.
They cheer. And that is utterly, to me, I don't want anything to do with that. I want to get away. I just don't have any faith in them anymore. They'll applaud anything. And I've heard them applaud horrific things. So have you.
Yep, exactly. So what's going to happen if enough people find out is, because I've discussed it with people in Europe, that there's part of civilization is just going to break away entirely, totally break away, and figure out a way to not be a part of that at all. A few will make it, not everybody, because you're going to have to go back to basics and withdraw entirely from everything. And you're going to have to be able to do it legally. And you're going to have to interface with the new Constitution. Because the Constitution is obsolete now once this is in place. Because there's nothing in there about legislating consciousness is what they're doing now. And what's legislating consciousness really? Really, that is a verbal on paper law based on gaslighting. It's gaslighting.
All true. Yeah, it's totally true. Honestly, I think this screen addiction has abrogated, worn away a lot of what might have been called IQ points in people. I think they've gone the wrong direction. I think they've been taken down the wrong direction. And I can't expect them to do that which they are incapable of doing. And I just don't know if you tell them what they're going to be able to do with that knowledge. How are they going to integrate it into their lives? What are they going to do with friends that won't talk to them? You're crazy. Leave me alone with your nut stuff. This is going to be, I think the answer is what you just said. We're going to have to fragment this culture and society. And those who get it will be over here, and the masses will be over here. And they'll go along, they'll follow along, staring at that screen until it's lights out.
You got it.
Well, you got it, and thank you for doing what you're doing and trying to wake up the wakeable. That's what it boils down to. Keep us posted, James. I'd love to have you back, as always, whenever. Just let me know.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jeff. Appreciate it.
You betcha. Good night. Okay. There, James Martinez, and he's right on it. Okay. Lots to think about. We shall continue in a few. Hold on.